Library of Adventure, featuring the great adventures of yesterday, dramatized for the boys and girls of today. Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar. Chapter 23 of the story adapted from the novel by Jules Verne. While Michael Strogoff and Nadia were still a day's march from Lake Baikal, the Great Emir and his Lieutenant Ogareff were camped with 50,000 men on the bank of the Angara, opposite to that on which lay the city of Irkutsk. So strongly was the town fortified, and so fierce a resistance had been put up by its defenders, that the first attacks by the Tatars were thrown off with heavy losses. But Ogareff was a clever engineer, and soon he had built a bridge above the town. Within 3 days, Irkutsk was surrounded on three sides, while across the river, the Tatar artillery was trained on the walls of the hapless city. Ogareff planned with his chiefs how best they might reduce the city.
Well, gentlemen, we are all gathered. Let me outline the situation as we now find it. Because we were delayed by the battle for Tomsk, and again because the defenders of Irkutsk worked more quickly than I had expected, we have been forced to put the city under siege.
And our two attacks have been repulsed with heavy losses.
That could not be helped. It was necessary to test their defenses.
We were almost in by the Bolkaya Gate yesterday.
Almost, but we couldn't hold our gains. The Grand Duke has little or no artillery, but he destroyed all the suburbs of the city to provide a clear field of fire for his guns. Our men have to advance over open ground.
I say that we should make a full-scale attack tomorrow, at dawn. Attack on the north side of the city and throw in our best regiments.
It would be suicidal.
We cannot expect to be left alone forever. Sooner or later, Russian troops will try to relieve the city. We must get into Irkutsk within the week.
I say attack at dawn tomorrow. If that fails...
If that fails, Captain, what then? Will you come back to me with your tail between your legs and ask for a new plan?
I will lead the attack myself. I am convinced that Irkutsk can be taken by direct assault.
And I am equally convinced that it cannot. But I will intercede with the Emir if you feel that the city can be taken thus.
If you say that the city cannot be taken, what other plan have you?
One that will not bear public expression at the moment. Attack tomorrow if you wish. If it fails, as it surely will, then I will take you into the city. I promise that.
Fine words. And meaningless, as most fine words are.
Captain, under the Emir, my word is supreme in this council. When you attack the city tomorrow, make certain that you gain entry, however costly and bloody it may prove to be. If you fail, do not return here. Do you understand?
Highness, I beg leave to present Vasily Fedorov.
Leave is granted.
Your Highness does me signal honor.
Leave us, General Vorontsov.
Highness.
You are Vasily Fedor, of whom General Vorontsov has already spoken.
The general was good enough to agree to have my case presented to your Highness.
What is your case, Vasily Fedor? Speak plainly, for I like plain-spoken men.
Highness, I am a Russian. The reasons for which I was exiled have no bearing on the subject now that all are reduced to a common level by the presence of the enemy. Therefore, I beg your leave to take over command of the corps of exiles formed recently by those of us with the interests of Holy Russia truly before our eyes.
I have been told that you fought bravely before the Bolkaya Gate in the Tatar attack.
We had previously determined to hold the attack at whatever cost, Highness.
Vasily Fedor, you have the look of a man who has known suffering. Well, insofar as it lies in my power, I shall make you what you formerly were. If you are to command, you must be a free man. Therefore, I say that your period of exile is over from this moment.
Highness.
And it would not be proper for you to command those who are not free. Therefore, I pronounce that all your corps of volunteers for Russia's cause are free also.
We will not fail you, Highness.
I am sure you will not, Captain Fedor. And now I have urgent business to attend. Will you kindly ask General Vorontsov to join me? You will find him in the anteroom, I fancy.
Thank you, Your Highness. Good night.
Good night, Captain Fedor. Enter.
Highness.
You have done well, General. For Captain Fedor and for me.
I am glad you approve, Highness.
We will need heroes to defend Irkutsk. And I have just made some. And now to work. Unroll the plan of the northern approaches, General. We must study them again. I'm not satisfied with the defenses there. We must make them more secure.
I have the plan here, Highness.
Good. Now, do you see the earthworks here? And the moat which we have recently...
Sangari.
I am here, Ivan.
Enter. Are the sentries alert?
As ever.
Good. Sit down, Sangari. I want to talk to you.
Yes, Ivan.
Do you know, Sangari, I sometimes wish that you were a man, or that I had 100 men as devoted to my person as you are devoted. With such 100, I would storm the portals of Moscow itself.
Your will is my will, Ivan. I would die for you.
I want you to live for me, my gypsy queen. To live for me, to be my eyes and my ears, my sixth sense. What do you think, Sangari? Tomorrow morning at dawn, Captain Buskov, with 2,000 picked men, is going to assault the northern side of the city.
But that is madness.
Exactly. But the captain is very sure of himself. Also, he is very young, and youth begets confidence. 1 hour after dawn, when the attack is all withered and broken and crawling helplessly against the earthworks of Irkutsk, Captain Buskov, if he is not already dead, is going to put his pistol to his head and blow out what little brains he has. A pity.
But couldn't you have stopped him?
Quite easily. Quite easily. I had only to say the word and the projected attack would have been laid aside. Few of my captains favored it.
Then why?
How well do you understand me, Sangare? Because once I rendered you a great service, you have given me the devotion and trust that a dog gives to its master. But how well do you understand me? If I have kept it from you, I have kept my secret well.
Ivan, this is a strange mood. I don't think I understand you.
Listen, Sangare. Listen, and I will tell you my secret. I am building a legend around the name of Ogareff. Tonight, one of my officers disregarded my counsel. Tomorrow, he will be defeated. Ogareff's counsel will prevail because it is wise counsel. I have the means to get into Irkutsk and open the city to my army. I can do it tonight, tomorrow. I will do it tomorrow.
But how, Ivan? How can you go alone into Irkutsk?
Before I tell you that, let me tell you of the legend. When the city is reduced, when nothing more remains of Irkutsk but smoldering ash, and I have paid my account with the Grand Duke, all eastern Siberia will be in our hands. Winter is coming on. Most of the hill tribes will want to return home. Some renegade Cossacks, Turkomans, Mongols will stay with a proven leader who can offer them an empire.
Ivan, what are you saying?
I am saying that with the hard core of an army, I can sweep across Russia from east to west, across the steppes, across the Urals, and into Moscow itself. I can do it, Sangari. And the beginning lies in the fall of Irkutsk. After that, my name will be above that of the Emir himself.
Ivan, have care.
Yes, I will have care. And now, my plan to enter Irkutsk. Today is the 2nd of October. Tomorrow, under cover of a sortie, dressed as a Russian officer, I will enter the city and present myself to the Grand Duke as a courier from the Tsar.
Oh, you have the letter still?
Some of it. The portion that refers to Ivan Ogareff is torn from the original. Naturally, as a hunted man, I was several times attacked and mauled by the Tatars. I swam flooded rivers. I walked and starved across the steppes. But I brought the Tsar's letter to the Grand Duke in spite of inhuman trials. After all, I am a member of that proud corps, courier of the Tsar. Yes. If I play it well, I shall make an excellent courier.
And then?
The plan takes shape, Sangare. At a given signal, while the Emir makes a diversionary attack on another portion of the city, I shall go down and open one of the gates. After that, Kutsk is ours.
What will the signal be?
A river of flame.
A river of flame?
I have already arranged it. Near the mouth of the Angara, the government reservoirs of oil, naphtha oil. My men have orders to breach the reservoirs and allow the oil to flow into the river on the morning of the 5th of October. On the night of the 5th of October, having made my position secure with the Duke and his councillors, I shall set fire to the river. That will be the signal to begin the diversionary attack. An hour later, the Balkaya gate will be opened.
Ivan, that is a plan which cannot fail.
Then you will have your revenge on the Grand Duke, and I shall witness it.
First, Irkutsk, and then all Russia.
So Ivan Ogareff plans to do his traitor's work in Irkutsk itself. A man with no sense of honor or chivalry, bearing an implacable hatred for the Grand Duke, Ogareff will be a terrible menace when once his plan of betrayal is underway. Can anything prevent the final disaster? Is Michael Strogoff still trying, in this very last hour, to reach Irkutsk? Listen again when next we present Michael Strogoff, courier of the Tsar.